relatively novel approach to public health interventions aiming to change behaviour, and something that's gaining increasing interest by both scientists and policymakers, is nudging. Teresa Marto works at the University of Cambridge and is director of the Behaviour and Health Research Unit. Professor Marto and her colleagues conducted a large-scale review in the field of nudging, or choice architecture.
The concept of nudging, or choice architecture, first came to public awareness with the publication of the book of the same title, Nudging, in 2008. So it's based on the simple idea that much of our behaviour is cued by the environment. So the book starts with the example of a cafeteria, and if fruit salad is placed nearer to where the customer is approaching the line, then they're more likely to choose that than chocolate cake if it's placed on a higher shelf. So by changing the structure of situations, environments in which we make choices, you can shape the choices that people make.
Can you tell us a bit more about the study you did?
The large-scale review that we conducted in Cambridge, led by Gareth Hollands and Ian Shemelt, involved going to the literature and asking some quite basic questions to find, in the end, 346 relevant articles. We were able to map across the four different behaviour types we were interested in, and we discovered that the majority of the research had been conducted in diet-related behaviours, so around 70% of the studies were in that area, around 20% focused on increasing or decreasing, but shaping physical activity, and far less on alcohol and tobacco.
You provided us with some examples of single studies in this field. Which of these are promising from the perspective of their effect size, their feasibility and long-term effect?
It's a very good question. And as I made clear in the presentation, with our scoping review, we didn't look, it wasn't designed to look at what seems to be most effective. But if I were asked to say which I thought were most promising, I would go for sizing. People are very sensitive to the size of portions that are presented to them, whether that's for food, possibly also for alcohol as well. And they're sensitive to the size of the tableware in which foods are presented as well. So I go for sizing. I'd also go for availability. These would be studies that have looked, for example, at the content of foods in a vending machine. So if you change the content so that it's healthier, then people will select the healthier items. And also proximity. People in the main are very efficient at conserving energy. So the easier something is to obtain, the more likely they are to go for it, even down to seemingly very simple movements, so that people will be more likely to select a salad in a salad bar arrangement that is immediately close to them, rather than stretching just another few more centimetres to help themselves to something that is at arm's length. So those would be the three.
Regarding portion sizes, finding the right size may be a challenge, since you want to avoid people taking a second portion after not being satisfied with the first. What are your views on that?
Yes, it's a very good observation. One of the key questions in the area, I think, is how small can you go before you actually increase the amount that people will help themselves to? In the systematic review that we're conducting on sizing, obviously we're dependent on the evidence that's already been generated. And indeed, this is one of the components that we will be looking at. If there's an absence of evidence on that issue about the extent to which sizing is linear or not, then this will point us in the direction of an absence of evidence requiring more primary research.
Food Today, science-based information on food, nutrition and safety. From UFIC, the European Food Information Council.